All right, what's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, 97.5, The Fanatic, on a very, very, very cold day, a Tuesday in the Delaware Valley, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. Hope you're all warm enough, maybe in your car, hopefully in your car. And, hey, got some, obviously, some Eagles football to talk about over the next hour or so as we lead you into Flyers hockey tonight. Doug Peterson, new head coach of the Eagles, as we know, press conference happened today. When it was long. It was a long press conference. Went about 45 minutes. Jeffrey Lurie spoke and Doug Peterson spoke. And want to give you a chance to hear from both of them, sort of the best of the best. Obviously, a lot of people working during the day. So here's about 15 minutes of Peterson and Lurie from today. Listen and dial in and react, and then we will get to the calls. But for those who have not heard it, Doug Peterson, the new coach, Jeffrey Lurie, the longtime owner, both speaking today, and here they are in their words, the best of the best of what they said today.
Can't tell you how excited I am to welcome back Doug Peterson to the Eagles family. This was a very, very detailed and exhaustive search process, some of which we could share publicly, but most of it is a very private and intense few weeks that goes on in the NFL. I'm sure with most teams, and ours was no exception. I first want to reach out and thank everybody who was involved in the search process, especially Don and Howie and Tom Donahoe and all of our special advisors that we had. This was really a terrific, terrific process, the best I've been a part of. And with all of us and our advisors, unanimously came to the conclusion that the best man for the job and the best leader in this process was Doug Peterson. And, you know, we can go into many more variables, but I'm going to tell you that at the end of the search, this was an easy call. And with that, I'd like to welcome back Doug Peterson and introduce him as the next head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Doug.
I'm standing here before you just a humbled human being. There's a lot of people I want to thank. And the first people is obviously the Kansas City Chiefs. Clark Hunt and the Hunt family for giving me the opportunity to be the offensive coordinator there for 3 years. Mark Donovan, the team president. Coach Andy Reid, one of my mentors in my life. And then turn this chapter of my life back to Philadelphia. Started my career here in 1999 as a starting quarterback. Came back as a position coach with Coach Reed, and now back as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Looking at the Philadelphia Eagles, what intrigued me about coming back to Philadelphia? One is an opportunity to lead young men, an opportunity to be surrounded by quality individuals, top-notch individuals, a tremendous owner, an owner that gives you the fullest of support. The players that are in this room, my challenges to them is that we're gonna work every day. We're gonna work hard every day. We're gonna come to work every day. As coaches, it's our job to make you better. To make you better as individuals, to make you better as men, and to make you better as Philadelphia Eagles. And that's my job. It starts with me. I understand the culture and the passion of Philadelphia. I get it. I experienced that as a quarterback in 1999. I experienced that firsthand. And now coming back, I understand what it feels like to win in this city. This city hasn't won, and this organization hasn't won in quite some time. It's my job to turn that around. And so I'm honored to have him to be a part of, to be a part of my staff. So with that, we're ready to answer questions.
Doug, like you said, you're familiar with this city, and you're also familiar with Andy. And the perception here is that because of your connection to Andy, people are wondering if are they getting Andy back? And is that a good or bad thing? And do you feel you need to separate yourself from that? And if so, how will you do that?
Listen, Andy Reid is a mentor. I'll be the first one to tell you that he is. But I'm also here to tell you that this is not an Andy Reid football team, and it's not a Doug Peterson football team. This is a Philadelphia Eagle football team. And so I'm going to bring my spin on it. I'm going to bring my personality to it. And we're going to make it our team going forward.
Doug, 7 years in the NFL as a coach after coaching high school, two as a quality control guy, two as a position coach, and then three as a coordinator. It's a lot less experience than most NFL head coaches have coaching. How much of a hindrance, if any, is that? And how do you kind of overcome that and make up for the lack of actual coaching experience?
Well, I think being a head football coach in the National Football League, you have to be a great listener. You have to listen to your players. You have to listen to your coaches. You have to listen to the fans. I think that makes you a better person. I think the people that I've been surrounded with in my career, the Don Shulas, the Mike Holmgrens, the Andy Reids, being a part of championship organizations, the Green Bay Packers, the Kansas City Chiefs, and being a part of the Philadelphia Eagles, and understanding what that takes and that dynamic to win in the National Football League has prepared me for this opportunity.
Doug, will you call plays on offense?
I will.
How much responsibility did you have for that final Chiefs drive in the playoffs?
I had the second half. I did have the second half, and so I called the entire second half at that point.
Why did that drive take so long?
It took us time because, number one, did not want to give Tom Brady the ball back. We knew we were going to score. We knew we had timeouts in time. We were also limited with the number of receivers. We had Jeremy Maclin was out of the game at the time. We were down numbers. We just didn't want to feel. We felt like at that point, not to give the ball back to Tom Brady. We still had timeouts in time, even with the onside kick, to put ourselves in a position to tie the football game.
It seems like the organization had some other guys that they were more interested in. Does it bother you that you weren't the first choice?
Because I'm here today, no.
Is that the way you viewed it?
I just felt like that they were going to select the best man for the job. And they feel that they have confidence in me. And I'm gonna show that same confidence and that same respect back. And I don't want to disappoint.
Sam Bradford. Do you have any? Have you had any contact with him? Do you know him at all? You know, got a chance to?
Yeah, no. You know what? I don't know him personally. I think he's a tremendous player. I liked him coming out of college when we evaluated him before. But again, he's someone I do want to reach out to and talk and have conversations with. And I think Sam he's got all the tools. There's no question. There's no denying that. He's got good size. Got a great arm. Good mind for the game. And it's just a matter of now just plugging him in and cutting him loose and utilizing those strengths in this system.
Doug, there have been reports of some assistants already in place being held over from the previous regime. Can you confirm, will Fitt be back as your special teams coordinator, Statlin, the offensive line coach, Deuce as your running backs coach? Ken Flagel's been hired. What is his role?
Still, I'll tell you this, still in an evaluation process. I would tell you that Dave Phipp will be retained. I like his style. He's one of the top special teams units in the National Football League the last few years. I like his style. Jeff Stoutland as offensive line. I like his demeanor, what he brings to that room. I think there's continuity there. There's a toughness there. There's a style that I like with him. And then going forward from there, I'm still in the evaluation process, and that's where we're at.
To piggyback off of that, especially since you just played 3 days ago, how much were you involved in the selection of your staff?
I had full cooperation there. I was given the opportunity to search and put together the best staff, not only for the Philadelphia Eagles, but for me and the guys that fit with my personality and what I believe in. So I was given the support of that.
It's for Jeffrey. Doug said it doesn't hurt to have an Andy Reid endorsement. What did Andy tell you about Doug, and how much of an influence was that on your decision?
It was one of many influences on the decision, but the detail of Andy's analysis of Doug over the years, and especially in the last few weeks, was important because it was so thorough. The The experiences of Doug as a coach and how he deals with players was detailed. It was extremely valuable in terms of understanding the core of Doug Peterson. It's something you can't get from an interview, but somebody who has literally had probably 800 interviews with Doug every day on the field and classrooms and all that, it's important. However, I want to just say that equally as important to me were those that didn't know Doug as well, because they had a chance to really analyze him more from afar and did their own research. And I can't tell you the positivity of the other head coaches that we talked to and general managers and people like that, that it was unanimous in terms of who are the best of the up-and-coming coaches to be head coach in the NFL. And I, you know, went into it just wanting to hear. That was all. I was a good listener.
And Doug, back here aside, while Andy has obviously had some very strong success in the league, the concept of clock management has been an issue for many years, and certainly we saw it here in Philadelphia. Totally aside from just what happened this past weekend, what is it about his approach offensively? I don't know if it's about verbiage and how long it takes to get plays in, communicating it. What is it about the approach he has had
that has led
to pretty consistent issues with clock management? And what can you as the head coach do to avoid that happening in the future? You mentioned about giving the quarterback an opportunity to survey the field and make adjustments. What can you do to put the quarterback in a position to avoid the issues that have existed?
The best way is to practice those situations every week, which we've done, which we do. Teams in the National Football League work on those scenarios and those situations all the time. And again, it goes back to the decision of, and particularly in that game, if you don't want to give a great quarterback an opportunity to win the football game. Keep the time, keep the timeouts. One thing we did in Kansas City is we actually streamlined our offense. We cut out a bunch of terminology. We gave the quarterback the flexibility, the keys to the car, so to speak. And we as coaches put our players in the best situations possible on game day to allow them to play fast, to allow them to play free, to use their talents. And those situations are worked in OTAs. They're worked in training camp. Their work during the regular season. And it's my responsibility as a head football coach to make sure that those situations are covered and that you make good of the time that you have.
One for Jeffrey over here, Mr. Lurie. You talked a little bit about the front office structure when we talked to you a couple weeks ago. Can you just explain why you prefer a collaborative approach over just having a general manager who has just one voice, who has final say? And second part of that question, obviously, the situation with Howie when you removed the personnel element from his job for a year when Chip took control. Can you talk about what gives you the confidence to restore that from what he's done?
Well, I'll preface the questions by saying we're about to do a search for a player personnel head. And that will really be an important search that we're all participating in starting this week. And given that search and given the competitive nature of that search, what I'd like to do is really talk to you more about structure and the exact nature of those once the search is over, because I don't want to sort of telegraph anything we're doing.
This question is for Jeff. Jeff, will the new player personnel head report to Howie Roseman?
All questions of structure and will be determined after the search is complete.
So you haven't made a decision on that yet?
Can't reveal any decision on that because it would impact our ability to find the right people that we've designated in the search.
Okay. In December, you had said that you gave Chip Kelly full control of personnel because you wanted to hold him accountable. How will you hold Howie Roseman accountable?
No matter what structure and ability to have a great personnel head and player personnel department, accountability will be the number one feature. And that goes for everybody. Goes for Howie, goes for the player personnel head, goes for the head coach. My number one priority going into this offseason is accountability.
So how will you measure?
We'll be completely accountable.
By
myself.
By the personnel decisions that are made in the offseason or by
everything, managing everything. In terms of all of his responsibilities as they are revealed after the search, he'll be responsible.
Will he have final say on the draft? And
you're going into questions that we will answer after the search is complete.
I just think the fans are really want to know exactly who's making decisions for the team.
They will
when the draft, when you guys are on the clock in the draft, and when you guys are making decisions.
Right, it doesn't quite ever work out that way, but it's very collaborative. But trust me, as soon as we finish the search, accountability will be 100% acknowledged.
Thank you.
All right, there he was today. That is Jeffrey Lurie, and that is the Eagles' new head coach, Doug Peterson. Again, about 15 minutes of what otherwise was about a 45-minute press conference. Wanted to give you a taste of some of the best parts, and now obviously we can react here at 610-632-0975. So some of the most noteworthy parts clearly there. Also not contained within that was the announcement from Peterson that Jim Schwartz has been hired as the team's new defensive coordinator. Schwartz was down there as well, called to the NovaCare complex to be at that press conference today. And then he also addressed in a casual setting, not at the podium, but in a casual setting, addressed a number of issues with reporters as well. So a lot to react to, whether it's just hearing that 15-minute portion or if you heard the entire press conference today. We'll open up the phone lines right now at 610-632-0975. Jump in, get on. We'll get to you as we react to the Eagles' new head coach. Our sense, the good, the bad, the what's in the middle. I think there's a lot of people in a lot of different, a lot of different ends of this. I mean, obviously, the sentiment remains largely underwhelmed from the standpoint of many people. Personally, I think Doug Peterson did a far better job than certainly many of the phone calls I've heard on the station over the last 2-3 hours would indicate. I mean, I know there's this big sense Doug Peterson was like wildly nervous down there today. I didn't get the impression that he was overwhelmingly nervous and dealing with the glare of the lights or whatever. I mean, I thought the guy stood up and did a decent job. I was getting text messages from some people saying, basically, Peterson's overmatched. What, he shouldn't be up there. This guy's unequipped, unqualified, blah, blah, blah. I'm getting that message from friends. And I'm getting other text messages from friends saying, hey, I think Doug Peterson did a pretty good job. I mean, it is amazing that you can take 100 people, they can look at the same thing, and some people are on this side of the room and some people are on that side of the room. I don't know. I thought Peterson did fine. I mean, did he have the vigor of a John Gruden up there at the podium? Well, no, of course not. He doesn't have the personality of John Gruden. Certainly not publicly, not that we've seen. I thought Peterson did pretty good. But you guys tell me, 610-632-0975, what stood out to you? What do you make of it? Your impressions of Doug Peterson now as the head coach of the Eagles, Jeffrey Lurie's explanations of any number of aspects of the search. Again, jump in, 610-632-0975. Your opportunity tonight. We've got Flyers hockey at 7 o'clock, but I'll take you till then. 610-632-0975. Look, his worst answer by leaps and bounds, and it wasn't even close. By leaps and bounds, his worst answer was the way he broke down the situation with the Kansas City Chiefs this past weekend and what went on in the drive that just ultimately ended up in a touchdown but took all that time. It was a disastrous answer. It was a disastrous approach by the Andy Reid, Doug Peterson on what was that, Saturday, Sunday, whatever day that was, and it was an awful answer. And as Sal Powell pointed out when he was on with Mike about an hour ago, you know, you can't be shoveling that stuff out, man. That stuff like that, you can't be saying that for long. People are not going to be in a mood to hear answers like that. Now, when I heard it, my instincts were that he likely, perhaps, was covering up for Andy Reid, his mentor. Now, here's the reality. As he expressed, he was the one calling plays. Has the play caller, is he the one saying, we got to go, go right now, forget the huddle, let's go, hurry up offense? Or is Andy Reid saying, Doug, run it normal, and you don't have to go up in a hurry up offense mode? Is the guy calling the plays also the one essentially dictating pace? There's a little bit of gray area there. Here's what we all know. Andy Reid, Doug Peterson should have had better handle on the situation this past weekend. And if they had, Kansas City certainly could have had a better chance to win that football game. And by having the approach they had, it hurt their chances. It was dramatically horrendous. And his answer today was awful. Now,
as I'm standing there watching him answer that question and hearing him say what he had to say, I'm thinking to myself, is this all truthful? Is it straight up? Is that really what happened? Is that really what you were thinking? Like, yeah, we're going to score, and then we're going to have enough time. We're going to get the ball back. Like, what are you talking about? Dude, the clock's running out. What are you doing? So is it really that you're actually thinking that, or, and this is what I'm thinking as I'm standing there watching him say this stuff today, or was it, and I knew this was the case about a year and a half ago, whenever it was, when Ron Hextall said it, or was this the Hextall-Ed Snyder thing when Hexy got hired by the Flyers and was asked about the Flyers' culture and all the years of losing and what are they going to do moving forward and all that stuff, and Hextall gave an answer that the public hated. I didn't like it because it didn't speak to the reality of the Flyers did need change, but that Hextall clearly did not want to throw Ed Snyder under the bus, the guy that had just hired him, a guy that's paid him a lot of money through the years, a guy that gave him a position as a player, a guy that gave him a position as a assistant general manager, or whatever role he had initially with the Flyers, and a guy that gave him a position as the general manager and didn't want to throw him under the bus and basically say, yeah, Ed Snyder, everything he's done for the last 10 years, none of it's worked. Hasn't worked. So I'm watching Peterson today and I'm thinking, wow, I wonder if he really believes what he's saying on that answer. Or if this is the Ron Hextall, Ed Snyder analogy, I'm not going to submarine the guy that has meant something to me by publicly calling him out. You know, not sure the answer to that. I would say this. If you listen, when I asked the question later in the press conference about clock management, focusing not on that one issue, but through the years, I think that we got a sense that he understands that it is on him to get it right. And by extension, I sort of infer that he recognizes that the Andy Reid approach in that regard has been faulty. I mean, he said specifically, quote, it is my responsibility to make sure those situations are covered. So hopefully he understands. And we've had a lot of people just assume, all right, so you hire an Andy Reid guy, all of Andy Reid's warts come with him. And we've had other people call the station and say, well, not so fast. Why do the warts have to come with them? Maybe the guy wrecked. And I said last night on my show, I said, just because I hear people do things on the air on the Fanatic that I think are counterproductive to a good show sometimes, doesn't mean I'm going to then come on at 6 o'clock and emulate the things that I think sometimes people do wrong. So just because you're surrounded by people doesn't mean you have to parrot what they do when you have an opportunity to do it yourself. So hopefully he really learns from the failures of Reed's system in that regard and will be simply better at it than Reed. Ultimately, time will tell. I mean, that's the deal. Time will tell whether he implements a better structure or not. All right, so I thought that was maybe the most noteworthy aspect of the entire press conference, and it was a negative. Clearly, as he presented it, doesn't mean he really believes it, but as he presented it, again, it may have been a Hextall, Ed Snyder type thing. Now, everything else I thought he did well. I thought he presented things with a certain degree of command. I've heard a lot of people say they thought he lacked command. This wasn't, you know, I'm not looking at, you know, General Patton up there with command, but I thought the guy, you know, I thought he owned the moment. I thought he did fine. I thought he did fine, but a lot of people don't seem to think that, and we'll go to the phones and take your reaction. 610-632-0975. Certainly you can respond and react to what we saw from Jeffrey Lurie as well. You know, the whole structure thing in the front office, obviously he doesn't want to go into too much detail. I don't love that approach right now. I mean, he basically saying there's a competitive advantage to be gained by not tipping the hand right now. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I'd like to have a vision in place of what you want, a structure in place, and go attack it with the framework of what you know you want. I mean, the bottom line is whomever they bring in to be this player personnel guy ultimately is not the top guy anyway, because we all know Roseman's above him. So I don't quite understand why there needs to be secrecy or misdirection or whatever about what the ultimate structure is when the guy you bring in anyway is just an assistant to the guy making the calls anyway. So that part, I didn't love that part. But on the whole, I thought Peterson did pretty good. 610-632-0975. Let's get your reaction. Ben in Germantown kicks us off. Ben, what's going on, man?
Yo, how are you?
Yo, Ben.
So, listen, I actually was able to listen to most of the conference during lunch today.
Yep.
And when I listened to Doug, I wasn't thrilled. I wasn't devastated. I was fairly indifferent. I feel like, with your head coach, you're at the end of the day, I'm not even crazy worried about him as a play caller, because if we need to get an offensive coordinator that's a better play caller, I want him to be able to lead people, to have the team buy in, right?
Let me just say one thing on that, Ben. I would love for Peterson not to call the plays. He said he's going to call them. He better do a darn good job, not just calling the plays, but managing the game, because I think as a first-year coach, and we've seen Andy Reid and Chip Kelly with their face submerged in a play sheet in front of them, and I'm tired of a coach lacking recognition of game situations because they're involved too much in calling plays. Go ahead.
I agree. I agree. And part of what we have to do now as Philadelphia sports fan is you need a little bit of optimism because it's bleak, right? So you just hope that, he's either able to figure it out or delegate appropriately. But what really scared me, Joe, was I love that reporter. I hope you know who it was who really grilled him.
It was Jeff McClellan.
It just showed. It makes me dislike Jeff Lurie more and more. And I never really had any foot in the game with him, but he's just dancing around it. I appreciate the fact that you don't want to reveal all your cards to competitors and all that, but it just doesn't give you any vote of confidence that Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, or whoever else is there, they have any idea what they're doing.
Well, here's the way I looked at that, Ben. Thanks for the call. I didn't actually take that element of him, quote, dancing around it as a negative. I think the fact that there's a structure that they're not willing to reveal right now is a little bizarre, as I just mentioned, and I don't love it because I think we'll see how it plays out, but it concerns me. I didn't think he danced around Jeff McClain's questions. I thought he addressed the first time that he essentially wasn't going to go there by answering those questions in detail, that concept in detail. And Jeff basically asked the same question five or six times, five or six different ways, all trying to get toward a similar concept, which he had said the first time he wasn't going to go there. So to me, it was just five or six different ways for Jeffrey Lurie ultimately to say the same thing, which is, I'm not giving you the answer to those type of questions. We will reveal that after they make the next hire. Now, I don't love that they're going to reveal it after the next hire, but I don't think he danced around Jeff McClain's question. I think he answered essentially the same answer to five or six questions, but basically were the same question each time framed under the concept of something he said earlier he wasn't going to reveal. All right, guys, 610-632-0975. We'll hit all the calls. Also, are you or someone you know affected by problem teeth? Guys, I want to tell you something here. Go to my dental care physicians. They are phenomenal at what they do. I've been going to them for years. PI Dental Center in Fort Washington. Let me say it again. PI Dental Center in Fort Washington. Dr. Balshi, Dr. Wolfinger at PI Dental Center. They've not only been taking care of me and my family for simple procedures, but they are board-certified prosthodontists who have pioneered dental implant treatment and have changed the lives of thousands of people with cosmetic dental improvements. If you have an issue that you want to take care of, or perhaps you just want, like is often the case with me, just usual year-to-year maintenance and care, PI Dental Center in Fort Washington. Patients travel across the country to have the PI team correct their so-called unsolvable dental problems. Prosthodontists go there for educational training. They're the best. But they're right here in our backyard in Fort Washington, so you don't need to travel across the country. If you or someone you know has been embarrassed by their teeth, has an issue with their teeth, it's time for a change. PI Dental, with the best staff, incredibly helpful, they'll go over everything with you, including financial options. Write this number down. 215-646-6334. Again, 215-646-6334. It's PI Dental Center in Fort Washington. Joe DeCamera back with the calls next on The Fanatic.
Right now, get up to $6,000 over Kelley Blue Book fair market value for any trade at Kia of Westchester and Kia of Kentville.
That's crazy!
Style $1,000 new. 2016 Kia Optimas are only $159 per month. And always remember, Jim Sapala wants to see you in a Kia. Visit Kia of Westchester or KiaCoachville.com.
Qualified buyers, 24-month lease, $26.59 down, plus tax and tag, no security deposit, 10,000 miles per year. Negative equity refinance. Dealer retains all factory rebates. Offers don't apply. Stock number K014112. Expires month's end.
Well, with the weather cold outside, you may be thinking it's time to replace those old drafty windows and doors. If you didn't take advantage of Guided's big end-of-year sale in December, then you're in luck. Due to popular demand, my good friends at Guided Door and Window have decided to extend their biggest discounts of the year through January by offering, get this, 40% off each window and door you buy. That's right, 40% off each expertly installed, energy-efficient replacement window, which also includes free high-performance low-E glass. And if you're in need of a new door, you'll get 40% off any door, including insulated entry doors, sliding patio doors, garage doors, and storm doors. You can also take advantage of Guided's interest-free financing or low monthly payment plans. This offer expires at the end of January, so you must act quickly. If your home needs new windows or doors, then call the experts at Guided today and schedule a free in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GUIDED or check them out online at goguided.com. That's go. G-U-I-D-A.com.
Backed by popular demand, Tropicana brings you more fun with Bacon Week, January 17th to the 23rd. Indulge in unique bacon dishes, including bacon cocktails, desserts, and more. Bite into a super one-pound BLT, savor a bacon ice cream sundae, or even drink your bacon in a bacon maple Manhattan. We're serving up bacon every which way during Bacon Week, January 17th through the 23rd. Visit Tropicana.net/Bacon Week for details. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
O'Reilly. Regular oil changes are key to engine life, but the oil you use is only as good as the filter it flows through. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, save $3 on all Wix XP and Mobil 1 premium oil filters. These premium filters are made to remove more dirt, reduce friction, and keep your engine running smooth and strong. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Pizza Hut's $5 flavor menu is the first way to say yes to any two or more of your favorites for just $5 each. That's yes to medium one topping pizzas, Wing Street wings, and Hershey's desserts. Feels good to say yes to the $5 flavor menu only at Pizza Hut.
Limited time offer. Additional charge for extra cheese, toppings, and pan crust. Hershey's trademark used under license.
Wake up.
Good morning.
And get up.
We are back and better than ever.
With Mike and Mike. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, or on demand on the ESPN app.
Dear John, I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is serious, and I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to when you checked on me? I don't want to leave, but remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range today. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll take all the cash back you've earned, then match it dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches. Because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/double. Anniversary double cash back offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Jack Frost Ski Area is 100% open with skiing, snowboarding, and snow tubing. There's something for everyone. Are you ready to ski and snowboard? Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas have it all. The snowmaking angels have been working hard to make winter happen at JFBB. Visit jfbb.com 24/7 for the latest conditions, live webcams, and sign up for weekly email blasts. Want a cheap ticket? Of course you do. So don't forget, you can buy discounted tickets online in advance. Just go to jfbb.com/shop and save up to 30%. JFBB and Lukoil have big savings for you at Lukoil stations everywhere. All you have to do is go to any participating Lukoil station, fuel up, and pick up your discount vouchers. Two mountains, three great deals, including buy one snow pass, get one free on Sundays. For more info, go to jfbb.com. Jack Frost Big Boulder, where the snow comes first.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll take all the cash back you've earned, then match it dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches. Because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/double. Anniversary double cashback offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Steven Singer Jewelers. Get your exclusive 24-karat gold-dipped roses. One place, one price. IHateStevenSinger.com. Hey,
yo. Hey, yo. All right, Jenna Camera, 97.5, the Fanatic Flyers hockey at 7 o'clock tonight. Flyers and Toronto. Talking a lot of Eagles football for obvious reasons here this evening. Doug Peterson, the new head coach of the Eagles, introduced to the press conference today, along with Jeffrey Lurie, and reaction right now on the Fanatic. Let's go to Ryan on a cell phone. Ryan, what's going on, man?
Hey, Joe, how's it going?
What's up, Ryan?
Just a quick 2 points on the press conference. One, you have to keep in mind that the players are watching this. So if Doug Peterson tries to get out there and pretend he's John Gruden, right. Mike Tomlin, and this yeah. tough guy, right. they're going to lose respect for him instantly. So I think that his approach of being humble, yeah, I'm happy for the job, is really going to gain respect of the players because he's being honest. You know, he's not trying to be someone he's not.
I agree. And by the way, he was asked that at what point best advice he got. He kind of went in different directions as far as people he heard stuff from. But it sounded like, if my memory is correct, he basically rounded it out to the concept of be yourself. And you're right. You do have to be yourself.
Yeah, so for the guys killing him for, you know, being nervous, whatever, I don't buy it. My second point is, in that line of questioning with, you know, holding people accountable, I was dying for the reporter to say, hey, Jeffrey, who holds you accountable? You know, and what would his answer be? Because obviously, you know, he's going to make his millions each year.
Right.
You know, he wants to win, but how is he ultimately held accountable?
Well, you know what? The bottom line, Ryan, and it's an interesting concept. An owner's not accountable. I mean, unfortunately, we all want accountability at all levels of life, but I hate to say it, but it's just the reality of the matter. I mean, in the end, a fan base through action can hurt the owner by buying less merchandise and things of that nature, but he still owns the football team. I mean, you know, it is what it is. There's only so much accountability that really can exist, and when a guy's the owner, you know, I hate to be so blunt, but there is a lack of accountability. Nico on a cell phone. Nico, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's up, dude?
I wanted to talk about defensive coordinator Schwartz and the wide nine, potentially. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm a little concerned because of the history here in Philly of the wide nine, but, you know, he has certainly had some success with it, and we'll see if they can do it. I think Sal made a great point when he was on with Mike today that, you know, ultimately they've got to have a defense that works to the strengths of Fletcher Cox, and really ultimately they got to have a defense that works to the strengths of whomever's on the team. I think to say at this stage definitively what you're going to be defensively would be a mistake. You don't know who you're going to lose. You don't know who you're going to gain. I like that Bill Belichick through the years has had a defense that takes on the approach of who his players are and even changes week to week. So I guess I would strongly encourage the Eagles to develop versatility defensively year to year based on who the personnel is year to year and to a certain extent week to week based on how they match up with opposing teams and just develop diversification to be able to beat teams different ways. I think there's a real strength if you can accomplish that.
And I guess my other question would be, since it's going to be a 4-3 again, who are the three linebackers? You know, like,
yeah,
who loses out?
Well, I think Kiko loses out, and I think D'Amico Ryans loses out, and I think Brandon Graham moves up to the defensive line level. It's an interesting question. I mean, I think on the surface, the quick answer would be that the rookie, I'm forgetting his name right now, Devon, help me out, Jordan, what's the guy's name? Jordan Hicks, right? Yeah, I think Jordan Hicks would be in the middle. I think that Kendricks would be on one outside, and the Connor Barwin would be on the other outside. And that would involve Kiko having a fight to make the team as a backup. That would involve D'Amico probably not on the team, which is a shame because we all love D'Amico, but, you know, there's just diminishing returns, obviously, with his age. And, you know, you got to see what kind of salary you're working with there. And Brandon Graham moves up a level to the defensive end in a 4-3. That would be sort of how I would think it would be structured. But again, you got to see who you sign and who you lose and whether Connor Barwin can make that transition to a 4-3 outside linebacker and things of that nature. Andrew on a cell phone. Andrew, you're on the Fanatic.
Good evening, Joe. How are you?
What's up, man?
Good. Hope you're staying warm. Yeah. Question for you. I just have some concerns about the coaching staff. Obviously, they're all coming in together. They're all brand new. They don't know all the personalities of this football team and what it has to offer for next year. I guess my question to you is, what changes, I guess maybe 2 or 3 points from you, what changes would you like to see happen on the offense and defense to make it even better for 2016?
Oh, it's so simple. And Peterson alluded to this today. You want to allow the quarterback to have more autonomy on the field. So you want to have an audible system in place. Obviously, you want to utilize the strengths of DeMarco Murray to put him in a better position to succeed. Obviously, you want better talent. That goes without saying. You need better talent both on the offensive line and the wide receiver positions. So I would certainly advocate that. And I guess I'd also just say, Andrew, a more expansive playbook. You know, you look at the game that the Arizona Cardinals won in the playoffs this past weekend. And they had a play to win the game, and we know it well in Philadelphia under Andy Reid, called the shovel pass. Chip Kelly didn't run it one time in 3 years. Literally, not one time in 3 years. Chip's playbook was so shrunk because the whole thing was predicated on a simple amount of plays to be able to communicate the plays to the guys quick so that they could get to the play quick and snap the ball quick. And it shrunk the playbook so dramatically that it created a simplicity that defenses were able to overmatch in time. And I would say expand it. And obviously just be better than Andy Reid was in getting plays in quicker.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one play that I would really like to see come back would be I can't think of it, when all the linemen go and block everybody else and downfield.
Screen pass?
Yeah, screen pass.
Well, yeah, Andy Reid was a master at it, and Chip was not very good at it.
And if you want DeMarco Murray to run north and south instead of east and west, I think a screen pass would be absolutely perfect.
I was talking, Andrew, thanks for the call. I was talking to a lineman from the New York Giants this year one time, and he said Andy Reid is the best in football at coaching the screen game. He said he's the best. He said he's the absolute best in football. And, you know, I mean, listen, doing stuff like that well involves coaching it well. You know, you got to be trained. I mean, there were nuances to how Donovan would drop back. There were nuances to how the offensive lineman would block for that second or second and a half while they were setting it up. There was a nuance to the way the running back would find his way to the spot without tipping it off that it was a screen. The Eagles were phenomenal at that under Andy Reid. And under Chip Kelly, I mean, that execution for the screen game was like totally non-existent. Matt on a cell phone. Matt, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
What's up, man?
The one thing that kind of bothered me about the press conference was the fact that he said he let Andy Reid let him call plays in the second half.
Yep.
The last six games or so. I'm kind of calling BS. I was watching that Pats game and I saw the menu in front of Andy's face. He was giving all the signals. I think that was just trying to give Peterson some credibility as an offensive
player. I don't know. That'd be a really blatant lie. I mean, I'd be surprised if you're right. I don't know. I'd be surprised if you're right. But
you think Andy would let someone down a stretch run called the second half of a game?
I'll say this. When he said it, I thought it was strange because I don't know why one guy would call the first half and the other guy calls the second half. I find that very bizarre. But I didn't get the impression that it's not true. I did get the impression that it's strange.
I don't know. He wouldn't let Childress do it. He was a much more seasoned.
Well, him and Morning Wake went back and forth at times in the latter years here. Morning Wake had his cracks.
All right, I just smell a little BS.
It's fair to point out that it was strange. But again, something being strange and something being inaccurate, can certainly be two different things. All right, look, guys, I'd love to do this show for 27 hours tonight. We've got Flyers hockey coming up next, so we've got the pregame show next and the game at 7:00. We'll resume the conversation. Hey, remember, tomorrow night, Jaws is co-hosting with me. And I know there's a lot of people who have a lot of questions for Jaws. Obviously, he'll be taking calls tomorrow. So I would highly encourage everybody to tune in tomorrow night at 6:00 while we do the show. We're doing it from Parks Casino tomorrow night. So check it out. I know a lot of people want to hear from Jaws and be able to ask him questions and fire him away tomorrow. Thank you to Devon, our producer, producing the program tonight. I'll be back tomorrow with Jaws, 6:00. Enjoy Flyers hockey. It is up next. And ultimately in time, we'll see how the Doug Peterson works out. But I do think he did better than some people think today. And people can form their own evaluation and make of it what you will. Have a great rest of the night. Stay warm. Flyers hockey's next right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.